Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Good afternoon, precious saints, and welcome to this holiday edition of the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast. I'm your host. I go by the name Radio Shepherd, and I'm so glad you tuned in the midst of the Christmas hustle and bustle. I'm glad that you found time to log in, to listen to this broadcast, because, you know, saints, there's nothing wrong with observing the holidays. Nothing wrong. In fact, I encourage all of God's people to observe all of the holidays and enjoy them. Enjoy your rest. Enjoy your time of fellowship. Enjoy your time with family. Enjoy your time with the Lord. Enjoy it. But in the midst of that, in the midst of the festivities and the fellowshipping and the eating and the reminiscing and the exchanging of gifts, in the midst of all of that, we must still stay on high alert. You know that the United States government is on high alert. While everyone is celebrating, our armed forces are still on duty. They're like watchmen on the wall. So we can celebrate, we can eat, we can rejoice, we can praise the Lord, we can just give him glory. But the flip side of that is, are we ready to earnestly contend for the faith at a moment's notice? We were called upon by the Lord to defend his work. And the devil never takes off. The devil never takes a vacation. The devil never celebrates holiday. And because of that, we remain on duty. Well, we've been talking about Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. And this would be our seventh broadcast on this particular subject. And today's lesson title is The Revitalized Church is a Crown of Glory and a Royal Diadem in God's Hand. The revitalized church, the resurrected church, the church that God has breathed life into, the church that was almost at death's door, the church that was in ICU, that to whom God said, like Lazarus, come forth, that revitalized church is now a crown of glory and a royal diadem in God's hands. Now, let me read to you out of Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to be looking specifically today at verse number 3. And this is about prayer, saints. We are praying. We are praying. In fact, I would argue that we should do less teaching and less preaching and more praying. Let's do less talking to one another, and let's do more talking to God. That's what prayer is. So notice, Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1, 2, and 3, the prophet says, "For Zion's sake," who's Zion? The church. "For the church's sake, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake," what's Jerusalem? It's another term for the church. It's synonymous. The term Jerusalem is synonymous with the church. "And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." Verse 3 is today's verse. And it says, "Thou shalt also be called a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God." And thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of God. Father, we come to you once again, as we have been doing week after week, as we've been coming to you, Lord, seeking your face, asking you, Lord, to have mercy upon your church, to have mercy upon your church that is at the point of death, your church who is now in critical condition, your church that can spiritually be called or declared to be in ICU. Your church, Lord, we pray that you would revitalize it, that you would resurrect it, that you would give it life. That's why we're praying. We're not asking you, Lord, for cars. We're not asking you for houses. We're not asking you for clothes. We're not asking you for better jobs. Lord, we're asking you for a revitalized church. We're asking you for revival. Send revival. Send a move of the Spirit. Send a Holy Ghost revival. That's our prayer, Lord. That's our desperate prayer. That's our plea. And we shall wrestle all night long, as Jacob did, in hopes that you would hear our prayers, in hopes that for Zion's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, you shall revitalize her, that she would once again be glorious and powerful, the envy of all the earth. Yes, your church, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, Lord, answer our prayers. For many of us, we have no church to go to. The church has been hijacked by wolves. And those sitting in the pew love to have their itchy ears tickled. We sit next to people who just enjoy entertainment and despise your word. They love jokes and they hate theology. They love, Lord. They love to clown around, yet they hate to pray. That's who we're sitting next to, and they're being led by pulpiteers who have hijacked your church and hijacked your spiritual agenda and have hijacked our destiny. God, send a revival. Have mercy. We implore thee, O Lord, for Jerusalem's sake, for Zion's sake. We shall not hold our peace, and we shall have no rest until you, Lord, in your mercy, will revitalize her. Revitalize your church. Breathe life into your church again. Send a revival, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Saints, verse 3 is very simple. Verse 3 is very simple. You see, the prophet Isaiah, who is relentless in intercession. The prophet Isaiah is a relentless prayer warrior. And he vows. He vows. And a vow is a sacred oath. No one is to enter into vows lightly. And he vows to pray and to cry aloud until the church becomes God's bride and queen. Verse 3 is about the church becoming God's bride, and not just his bride, but also God's queen. The church, yes, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the church, she may become God's bride and God's queen. That's the theme of Scripture. You know, a contemporary of Isaiah was the prophet Hosea, H-O-S-E-A, the prophet Hosea. And it was the prophet Hosea who was instructed by the Lord to go marry a harlot. The prophet Hosea, if you read Hosea, the book of the minor prophet Hosea, which is 14 chapters, Hosea was told by God in chapter 1, go marry a harlot. And Hosea went and married a harlot because he had received that commandment from the Lord. And it was his harlot wife that was a mirror of the harlot church in the days of Hosea and in the days of Isaiah. You see, what God was saying via the marriage of Hosea the prophet to his prostitute wife, what the Lord was saying was, my church is a harlot church. Yes, I'm married to the church, but the church is a harlot. The church is not acting like a bride. The church is not acting like a queen. She's acting like a harlot. She's acting like a street woman. That's the church. And so both Hosea and Isaiah pray, and they vow, and they cry aloud, and they prophesied, and they reached out to the Lord with lifting holy hands, and they cry out to God that he would once again restore his wayward church. Restore his church back into right relationship with God. And so here in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 3, the first part of verse 3 says, thou also shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Now that phrase, a crown of glory, simply means that the church would once again, that God answers prayer, the church would once again become God's wife. And the crown of glory is what we call a tiara. T-I-A-R-A. You know, like the kind of wedding crowns that women put, you know, when it's not just the wedding dress and it's not just the wedding shoes, but what makes the bride is her wedding tiara. And this is what the prophet Isaiah is alluding to. When we see the church, when we see the church shall be like a crown of glory. She shall be like a tiara, hand in hand with her Lord and with her husband. So the church is to be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. The church is to be a faithful wife to the Lord. Right now, the church isn't very faithful. The church isn't very faithful because she's been hijacked. She's been hijacked by wicked men in the pulpit. The church isn't very faithful because she's been infiltrated by goats, not sheep. The church is filled with goats. Goats who want salacious messages. Goats who don't want to be preached to. They just want to be entertained. Goats, goats. The church is no longer filled with sheep. It's filled to the brim with goats. And its pulpits are filled to the brim with wolves. Wolves and goats abound in the church. The church has been hijacked. As a result of this hijacking, the church is now unfaithful to the Lord. But the prophet prays that God will remove the wolves from the pulpits and put in the place of wolves to put back prophets. And in the place of the goats in the pews, that God would restock the pews with sheep. It's only when you have prophets and sheep in the church that the church will become once again the bride of God. church is just filled, filled to the brim, filled to capacity with wolves in the pulpit and goats in the pews. We're praying for a revival. We're praying that God would restock all pulpits with shepherds and all pews with sheep. Out with the goats, out with the wolves. That's our prayer. Oh God, send revival. Make your church faithful again. Make your church faithful to you once again. Not faithful to its bishop, not faithful to the first lady, not faithful to the pastor's vision, not faithful to the denomination. No, Lord, no, Lord. Faithful to you and your end time agenda. But then the prophet Isaiah says in verse 3, not only is the church to become a faithful wife, not only is the church to become a tiara of glory in the hand of the Lord, but then he elaborates and the prophet says, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Not only is the church to become a faithful wife of the Lord, but she's also to become his majestic queen. That's right. It's not enough. It's not enough for the church to be the Lord's wife. She must also be God's queen. She must also rule and reign with Christ. And right now, we're not the head, we're the tail. Right now, the church is not above, we're beneath. Right now, we are not the lenders, we are the borrowers. You see, we're no longer ruling with God. The world is ruling us. And that's because we've made an allegiance with the world. We've made an allegiance with the flesh. And as a result, we're not queen. The church is not a queen. The church is a pauper. The church, instead of walking around in royal gowns, the church is spiritually in rags. Dear saints, this is why we must pray, Lord, reestablish right relationship between you and your church. Now, this is very much depicted. What Isaiah says here about the harlot church or the wayward church is very much depicted in the book of Revelation. For example, in Revelation chapter 17, it depicts the harlot church of the last days. Listen to Revelation 17, and you will see the harlot church in this hour. Listen, Revelation chapter 17, beginning at verse 1.
Chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
There you have it, saints. The harlot church is the church that belongs to Antichrist. And this is why we must pray for a remnant church. A remnant church that's going to be faithful to the Lamb. A remnant church that's going to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says here in Revelation 17, the remnant church, the church that belongs to the Lamb, that church, those people are called chosen and they're called faithful. You see, the remnant church, which makes up the bride of Christ, which makes up the queen of Christ, that remnant church is called chosen and faithful. Why? Because its members are the elect. And the elect remain faithful to the cause of God. It is this church of Revelation 17, the harlot church, that Jesus declares war against. And it is this church that is forever destroyed. Now, in Revelation 19, you have a picture of us, this remnant church. Let me let you hear Revelation 19 so that you can hear what Isaiah prayed for, Revelation 19, and what Hosea prayed for, that God's church would be restored to right relationship with the Lord. Revelation 19.
Chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. And
the great whore is the apostate church. That's the great whore.
Hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
And there you have it, saints. There's a new church coming. You see, the apostate church was destroyed in Revelation 17. And then from the apostate church, then there emerges a true church. A true church. A true church. Separate from the apostate church, was never with the apostate church. It was always, the true church was always a remnant church, a church that had prophets like Isaiah and Hosea, who were always praying like watchmen on the wall. We're in the last hour, saints. We are in the last hours of human history. We need watchmen on the wall, watchmen who will not rest, watchmen who will spare not, watchmen who will cry aloud, watchmen who would beseech the Lord, watchmen who would pray to God without ceasing, that the church would be the church, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would actually be his true bride and his true queen. Then we read in Revelation 21, in Revelation 21, verse 1 and following, listen to this, dear saints.
Chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem.
Isn't that what Isaiah said? He will say, I will pray for Zion's sake. I will pray for Jerusalem's sake. This is the New Jerusalem is the heavenly city, but the heavenly city is just metaphoric language. The heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, is also the church.
Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
You see, it's called a city. The New Jerusalem is a city, but she came down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Who's her husband? The Lord Jesus Christ.
And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And
there you have it, saints. We're at the end of time. There are two churches existing in the world. An apostate church, where everything goes, where there is no prayer, where there is no faithful commitment to doctrine or to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's a remnant church. There's a small church. There's a faithful few, men and women who pray without ceasing, who are the actual watchmen on the wall, praying that Christ's true bride will emerge. Remember, saints, that Isaiah prayed that we would be the bride of Christ. And Isaiah also prayed that we would be the queen of Christ. That is the destiny of the true church. The harlot church, had a cup filled with the fornications of this world. The harlot church was faithful to no one. The true church must be faithful to one, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there you have it, saints. That's why we're praying. That's because there's two churches in the world. Two, one true. One who loves the world, the things of the world, the pride of life, and then there's another church who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray that Christ's church would once again be revitalized. Let's not pray for houses. Let's stop praying for cars. Let's stop praying for jobs. Let's stop praying for promotions. And let us start praying for things that really matter. A glorious church. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. Tune in next Saturday as I will have another study out of Isaiah chapter 6. Bless you. I love you in the Lord.